Hey everyone, this is Christopher from We Could Be Wrong, But Who Cares? I wanted to have a little thing before I start this episode. I want everyone to understand that we are a podcast of just your average your average normal day people. And we're a live show. And sometimes topics come on, you know, on the spot, on the live show. And we do our best not to be so depressing and brooding. We try to keep it lighthearted. And when we do lighthearted things and jokes, sometimes we're distasteful. This is apology because there were some things that were said that were very insensitive. And I just wanted to have an apology and let people know we're doing our best to make people laugh and understand what's happening in the country and in the world. So I named this episode, Sometimes We're Distasteful. Thank you very much for taking the time and hearing me apologize. I apologize on behalf of the show. We did cut it out the show, so if you hear that weird segment where like, yeah, the bit, and then ha 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 ha, well, the bit was cut out. Thank you for listening to We Could Be Wrong, But Who Cares?
Welcome, welcome to We Could Be Wrong, But Who Cares? I'm Anderson.
This is your host, Christopher Harris.
This is Karen.
This is Kevin.
I'm John.
And Mike.
And let's go.
Let's go. And Renee, of course, says his name right on time. We have the king of all rats here in... here in the studio with us today. First topic will be the State of the Union and also our feeling of having both President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris and where we feel they what they've done within their first year. I'm going to start this off with Karen. Karen, please take the floor.
And right. I'm done. Just kidding.
All right.
No. The only thing that I could praise them for doing a pretty good job is picking up where Trump left off with regards to making sure that we started to get a handle on COVID. As far as the economy, I don't really blame them nor praise them for helping it or helping us through the pandemic, because I think part of the reason why there's inflation is because of the money that was injected to to the populace, I guess, the stimulus payments that we got. I think that was part of the reason why. I don't know. My opinion is that they're not doing that badly. But I also don't have a strong opinion that, hey, you know, I'm glad I voted for them and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing or what they said they were going to do. Is that the right answer?
It's your opinion. It's so how did you like the State of the Union? What was your feeling?
I liked it. Okay, so yeah, I can give you my opinion on that because I did watch it. I was paying attention. I was actually paying attention. I felt that he did a good job, not claiming anything that he did falsely. I guess, you know, and he said, we did this and we helped do this, but not once did I hear him claim, like with the Ukraine and the sanctions on Russia, he didn't make a statement claiming that he was the one who initiated the sanctions and the actions towards Russia. What else did he talk about? I think that he did a good job. It showed that he is able to lead both sides because for the most part, that he was talking, or almost the duration, the whole duration that he was talking, both sides applauded him, except for a couple of times that, you know, the other or the Republicans didn't applaud him or they heckled him during his speech.
Which is kind of always the case when we have a Democratic president. There's always a Republican yelling some stupid shit out. I mean, I don't remember a Republican president doing a State of the Union and some Democrat yelling some dumb shit. So I'm just saying, I wanted to put that out there.
I think someone might have said something when Trump was speaking. I don't know if it was the actual State of the Union, but I remember them talking like, oh, it's now commonplace for people to yell out while the president's speaking, where that was not done for a long time.
Yeah, because I remember vividly the Obama speech and, of course, the Biden.
Right.
Biden
was Eli. I don't know. I thought there was something. I might be wrong.
Okay, let's try to stay on focus. Like, what? Let's go to you, Kevin. Like, what exactly did you feel about the State of the Union? You did watch it, correct?
I did watch it. Okay. I mean, he did say a lot of things that I was pleasantly surprised with. I didn't really have any faith that he would actually carry out any of these things. It seemed to be a lot of lip service. I mean, we started with Ukraine, and I mean, there's definitely there's no one in the conversation talking about how we've had a 20-year war in the Middle East, and you know, maybe we shouldn't be pushing war. There's a lot of like blame happening. Is it Putin just invading countries? From what I understand, it seems to be more of like a pipeline controversy, and that the United States isn't really innocent in all this. And to say the aggression started with with Crimea is that seems to be not the entire story from what I understand, but what do I know?
Renee, go for it. Let's hear your thoughts.
All right. So I didn't watch the State of the Union, but I did see a lot of clips from it. And to me, it was when Biden pretty much echoed the things that Trump said, or ran on, or was his main platform, was buying American, America first, all this kind of stuff. That's when both parties kind of applauded him and agreed. I just think it's hypocritical that now he's changed his whole tune, right? He's using a lot of the stuff that Trump was originally, you know, we got to buy American, America first, kind of that stuff, right? That's all. And people hated Trump for that. You know, because people were into globalization, right? One world government kind of thing. And Trump was about buying American, going, you know, America first kind of thing.
So are you telling me
that right there kind of like, wow, it kind of tripped me out, right? And then another thing too is, he's taking credit. You know, I just thought it was very arrogant of him, like, you know.
Well, let me.
And it was very choreographed. I mean, very choreographed. Just the whole clapping. You know, there was even times when they clapped at the wrong. It was a spot where that one guy got up and he didn't realize he wasn't supposed to clap. He wasn't on point. You know, it's very choreographed.
I'm sorry, Kevin. So let me see if I interpreted what you said appropriately. So you're telling me that what sort of disgusted you was the fact that Trump put out a blueprint that Americans would love and Biden went and pretty much stole this blueprint from him and said, America first, let's buy America.
He understands that, you know, he wanted to please both parties, right? during the whole thing, State of the Union. I just think that it's very hypocritical of the Democrats cheering and all this stuff about, you know, going America first, when all they did was criticize Trump about it. I think that was very hypocritical.
Do you have an answer for that, Mike? I'm sorry. Another
thing that I didn't like was the fact that, you know, he's talking about putting sanctions and all this stuff on Russia, but the most important thing that's really on the table is us buying over 700,000 gallons of gasoline from him every day, you know?
From Russia?
And, from Russia? From Russia. And I think the other day it was on the news that in 2019, America was actually pumping 15 million gallons of gasoline every day. And since Biden took office, I mean, we've gone to almost pumping nothing. And so we're really supporting the war. We're funding. We're part of the reason why Putin's so rich and the war, we're funding him. I mean, we should completely cut Russian oil out. I think that's one of the very, very important points he should have brought up. But, you know, he wants to please the Green Deal people. And I think that's the wrong way to go about it.
Mike, can you break down sort of the two major things that he stated there? The first with with trying to please both parties, and the second with the buying oil from Russia. Go for it, Mike, if you can respond to that.
Well, I don't, it's always been popular to buy American first. And I don't have a real strong recollection that Trump got criticized for buying America first. He did a lot of embargoing, and there were some, you know, I don't know that there was a lot of criticism about that, because it helped some industries and didn't help other industries. But I don't have any recollection at all, Renee, that Trump was majorly criticized. And one of Biden's, I forget the phrase he used, but one of his phrase, buy back, build better, I believe, was that Biden? That was from the campaign. So that's nothing new. He didn't just come up with that all of a sudden.
I'm talking about at one point, Trump wanted to bring jobs back, right? Bring jobs back to America, make us what we once were, right? We were like this manufacturer. We would do tons of everything was American, right? And I'm not trying to start controversy, but this is a fact. The Democrats wanted more globalization. In other words, they wanted to spread the wealth out through China and all these countries. They want and less about America and more about globalization. And now it seems like Biden's had a change of heart, and now he's saying we need to bring a manufacturing back. We need to do this. The things that Trump
he said that all along, Renee. That was part of his campaign. He said that all along. Every president's going to say that. You're not going to get, you know, you're not going to have outstanding people.
Votes.
I want to send all of our businesses overseas. Yeah, that's going to work real well.
No, none of the presidents advertised that they did that. So they all want credit for reversing it. So we'll see if it happens.
So let me ask you this, Renee. Do you feel like so you said, you know, everything was well scripted. Do you feel within the chamber people sort of had cues of when to congratulate or when to applaud him? I can't hear you. We lost you. Okay.
Yes. I definitely feel like it was choreographed big time.
John, do you support that idea as well?
I support which idea?
That it was choreographed.
We had several right there. I mean, there were copies of the speech every year that are given out to different people in there. So it's not a secret about what he's going to say. I mean, he gives the official copy to the president of the Senate and the speaker of the House as a ceremonial piece that day. But there, he gives out copies of the speech. The administration gives out copies of the speech to their people. Everybody does that, Republican, Democrat, whatever. They give out copies of the speech to select people in their party. So they know when to stand and clap. I mean, I did think it was funny when I think you were referencing Schumer. Schumer stood up three times because he wasn't sure when to stand up, and then
that was funny.
Clapped on the
floor. Renee was talking about,
and I was like, "Oh man."
No, I just think that the excitement about certain things is that it was. I mean, there was some parts of it that were just they were over excited, you know.
Well, a lot of people know that there's a ton of cameras there, so they're going to try to jump up. They're going to try to jump up whenever they hear anything so they can be on camera standing up. I mean, that's – and I think that's something that goes on with the speech on this thing because, you know, news reporters will count how many times people stood up. They'll count how many times there was a clap. They'll count how many times – or, sorry, how long the speech went, how long the applause went. And you'll see those at the end of the thing. So people are always trying to jump up like that in there.
Renee, another thing about oil, I did some research on that because that was one of the anticipated criticisms of Ukraine and the Russian oil and so on. For a while there, Biden was allowing federal grants of oil and gas on federal land in the Gulf of Mexico specifically at a higher rate than Trump was. So this notion that we're slowing down our oil production, we're slowing down our gas production, we slowed it down in 2019 and 20, but we're expected to, you know, exceed production in 21 and record in 22. And it's kind of, you talk about hypocritical, that's a bit hypocritical in the sense that, you know, he comes off as an environmentalist and he makes a big deal about, you know, alternative energy and so on. But think about it. The reality is the economy, the inflation. What's the number one cause of inflation right now? Oil and gas. So obviously he's going to have to, if he has hopes of getting any kind of a re-election for the Democrats in 24, he's going to have to figure out a way to stop inflation. And opening up oil reserves in America is one way to do that.
Well, that's why he kept stressing.
I have an answer for that because I actually, you know, been listening to the news. I'm not going to say I did research. But, yeah, there are like 9,000 leases or whatever. But there's been where, you know, news reporters or even, you know, journalists, whatever, they're asking why aren't these being tapped? Why aren't these being used by the oil companies? And oil companies just don't want to take a chance because of the administration. They don't know that if they start putting in a bunch of money on this, if things are going to change right away.
Renee, that's obscenely silly. That's obsceneness silly.
That's
if they're going to make
money, companies are saying that's what they're saying.
The oil companies 4 months ago were saying, you know, we're not going to increase our production. Remember when he went to them and wanted them to produce or increase production, and Texas specifically said, no, we're not going to do it because we don't want to create a glut of oil. That's when we lose money, when there's too much oil in the market. But the fact that there's definitely a need, I mean, I'm sure Biden's been talking to Germany about supplying them liquid natural gas because they're so dependent on Russia that if this thing goes on for a long time and, you know, they have to start squeezing gas, Germany's going to need some help. Or a lot of the European countries are going to need help because they depend on Russia for
help now,
a high percentage.
A lot of oil is coming from Russia.
6%. 6%. 6%.
Okay, hold on. So, why is it so hard for Biden to say we're not going to buy oil from us anymore?
Why don't you talk to Shell Oil? Because they're the ones that were responding. This is the reason why we're still taking Russian oil. Why don't you talk to the corporate head of Shell Oil?
Bought it in the last. There's been no Russian oil bought from these oil companies in the last couple of weeks. Zero.
Okay. What's your point then?
So it has nothing to do with the administration, though. The oil company is doing it by themselves, but that's causing oil to go up, right? But
oil was already gone up.
But the lease it's got to come from the government, right? Just all they got to do is put sanctions on oil, period. And then they're going to be forced to pump oil, the oil companies.
It's not the way it works, Renee. Even in Europe, we can't just go, hey, you guys, this is what you're going to do to provide us with support in Russia. They're their own independent countries. They're going to do what they want to do. They, you know, Biden went to all of these countries and said, hey, this is what we want you to do. This is what we'd like you to do. And they agreed to it. That's the only way it's working is everyone agreed to it.
In the State of the Union, Biden stressed a few times that America released like 30 million barrels from their reserves, and worldwide there was 60 million barrels, kind of to reduce the hit, spike in price. That was, yeah,
that's enough to reduce it for like 2 weeks or something.
I mean, it clearly didn't even work. It seemed to have went here in California from $5 to $5.20 while they're releasing extra reserves. I'm not saying it worked. I'm just saying that he was stressing that point.
And okay, I mean, isn't anybody else frustrated by the fact that they, you know, this war started, what, a week ago, 9 days ago? They announced, price of oil is going to go up. Why did the price of gasoline go up 40 cents in a week when that oil is 6 months away or 4 months away? That's right. Greed. Is that Biden's fault too, Renee? Well, or is that just friggin' corporate greed?
That has to do with the market, right? Because things that, like, people, the way it works is that they're looking at what could potentially happen. So that affects the market price of everything.
You know, well, I think we're getting screwed personally. I think we're going to see record profits for oil companies, record profits of gasoline, and we're going to go, oh, I can see why you guys raised your prices. It's greed. I'm sorry. I think a lot of it is just flat out greed.
Anderson.
Yeah. Which the president can't do anything about, right? Or I'm kind of...
He's very limited.
Biden? He can do a lot. He could make it illegal to buy Russian oil, period. Biden, it's illegal to buy shit from Cuba, or was for a long time. And you can't purchase anything from him. So he could do the same thing with Russia. He could say oil companies that work out of the U.S. are no longer allowed to buy any Russian oil, and that's it. Just like there's so many rules in California. You can't do this. You can't build on your land. What do you mean? Who are they to tell me I can't build on my land? But you can't do it, right? The government has a lot of control over what people could do, buy, and do whatever. It's just up to him to sign saying no longer buying oil. We are no longer allowed to buy oil from Russia, and that's all that he needs to do, the sign of a pen. And everybody in Congress already, even Nancy Pelosi said, let's stop buying Russian oil. That still doesn't motivate him to do that, because he's afraid that oil price is going to go through the roof and he's not going to be reelected.
Well, but I don't think if oil prices didn't go through the roof, I still don't think he would get reelected. I think he's a one-term president.
He heard the speech, dude. The parts I heard, at least.
Yeah.
The guy can't even talk right, dude. The guy... He was calling Ukraine Iran.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, come on, dude. Like, this guy's kind of like, he's not even all there.
That might have been a Freudian slip.
Come on, man.
Okay, so Anderson.
That is what I'm talking about.
You listened and watched the State of the Union. How did you feel it went? And what is your sort of grade for Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris?
Anderson, it's a 10, and he was all wet.
I was like Renee. I didn't watch the State of the Union because I actually forgot about it. So I was actually watching Cobra Kai. Shout out to Ralph Macchio. Great show. I really... don't like listening to State of the Union just because everybody's full of shit.
Yeah.
And we just want to see results. Like Renee said, he wants to see results. I mean, some of the things that you're saying is kind of way out there, but, you know, that's Renee, right? Shout out to Renee. but, you know, in terms of COVID, you know, he did a good job. I was reading about that. 70-something% of Americans are vaccinated. And you're starting to see that out in the streets, you know, especially here in California where we have the strictest COVID restrictions. So it's nice to see people walking around without a mask and seeing their smiles and their faces. But like I said, I really didn't watch it. So
what is your evaluation for the first year for both the president and vice president?
I will give the president a C. And if I had to give him a grade. I'm just because of the gas prices as well. And I know probably Mike will know more. I don't think the president has anything to do with the gas in the oil. I don't think he'd sign something, and you know, you still have to take it, and the majority has to vote on that act that Renee's talking about. And I don't know if everybody will be on the same page.
You know, unless he declares a national emergency or something like that, then he has more powers. But to just simply say, hey, I want you guys to drill more oil, or hey, I don't want you to do this, he's not quite that powerful enough. No president is.
They seem to be able to find power, you know, when they need it, with, you know, with a pandemic or whatever is needed to change the rules and get the power. I mean, from my standpoint, I think there's a lot of the profit margins are rising dramatically, which is usually not the case when you're talking about, when the companies are talking about, due to, you know, pandemic and these different sort of things, they're getting higher costs and they're just passing that on to the consumer. But we're seeing, like you're saying, record profits and higher profit margins. And you would assume that there'd be some ability to limit that in this specific pandemic situation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin.
On Sunday, U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said the U.S. was now in active discussions with European partners about banning them while also maintaining a steady global supply of fuel. And again, you got to keep in mind, Europe's going to be the one that really gets the hammer.
They get hurt the most.
Yeah, they're going to really feel the hammer if everybody stops buying Russian stuff. I mean, Europe does, especially because they're really dependent on it.
John, you watched the State of the Union. What was your opinion of the State of the Union, and how would you rate both President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris?
Right off the bat, I would rate them both an F. I don't think that would be a surprise by anybody who's listen to me say anything before. So I'll give you a few reasons why, and I'll relate it back to the speech. So the very first thing that he did, Biden, make sure I use pronouns.
President as well.
He tried to wrap himself in the Ukrainian flag to basically hide all the failures that he had. He spent more time on Ukraine than any other issue in there. Although that, to the United States, that's not the most important thing right now. So he said, we'll continue to aid the Ukrainian people as they defend their country and help ease their suffering. He even had the Ukrainian ambassador to the United States up there next to his wife. They did a little camera shot of them hugging when they brought it up. But the fact is that he's, you know, I know this has already been brought up, but he's not doing everything he can. The president does, in fact, have the ability to, I think somebody else said it, to suggest an embargo. It can be ratified by the Congress. And we can put an embargo in saying that at the very least, we will not, in order to lead the free world, we will not buy that. We've doubled our purchase of Russian oil over the past year. We went from 3-4% to 6-7% in 1 year. Between us, the UK and the EU, we're buying $700 million, slightly over that, every day in Russian oil right now. Not only that, but we're buying
John?
Oil
from... Why are we buying so much Russian oil? Is there any reason? Is it cheaper? Is it the cheapest oil available?
No pipeline.
It's not the cheapest oil available. When I say we, the United States, and including the Biden administration, what was the first thing that he did in regards to oil when he got into office? He killed the Keystone pipeline. The first thing he did in regards to oil and oil prices or whatever was he killed the Keystone pipeline. And that lost us right on the day that he signed that executive order. That lost us at minimum 100,000 jobs that were right there building that, not including the off-century jobs that come from that. So we've stopped that. We have no drilling in Anwar. We have no pumping in Anwar like we used to. We're not putting out liquid natural gas like we were out of Pennsylvania, out of Texas, because we were a net exporter, meaning that we were exporting more oil than we were importing oil. And now, as of this month, we are now a net importer. So we are importing more oil right now than we're exporting. We're not energy independent. At the very least, we are buying oil from two countries that we should be considering as enemies, Russia and Iran. I can't imagine that we would say that Iran is friendly enough that we should be going and pumping money into them. I can't imagine that anyone would say, hey, Russia's friendly enough with us. We should be pumping money into them.
John, I mean, when you say we're a net importer versus a net exporter, I mean, those margins can be really small, right? If there's just some sort of fluctuation, if you're close to the line, you would go from a net importer to a net exporter. And it would maybe not necessarily be by a wide margin, right?
As of right now, it's by a short margin. As of 1 year ago, it was by a wide margin that we were a net exporter. And that deficiency is going to get bigger and bigger as we go on, because our oil use is not going to go down unless there is things like what these guys have promoted, where we're going to just completely eliminate fossil fuels, which is a whole nother conversation. So
what I understand, there is a federal, you know, mandate to moves to towards certain amount percentage fossil, you know, renewable energy by 2040 or 2035 or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. They've put out legislation and things like that, where they're trying to limit the amount of fossil fuels that come in there. And we can get into that discussion, but that's not part of the State of the Union. There is a lot that we could be doing in order to help out Europe, if you want to do that. But over the past year, we have basically, like I said, we've killed a lot of our energy. We've killed a lot of our pieces. We knew going into, or sorry, the Biden administration knew going into the election, getting elected, getting into the office, whatever. He knew that Nord Stream 2 was a big issue. Nord Stream 1 runs through Ukraine. If Nord Stream 2 had never been finished, there could have been a possibility that when Russia invaded, that Ukraine would have just blown up Nord Stream 1, and that would have cost them severe amounts of money. That's why I believe that he waited until Nord Stream 2 was finished, because now he's got a pipeline that can't be destroyed as easily. It's not just out in the open like the first one was. There are a lot of things that go in with that. The other thing, that I want to bring up is that we're right now, our Biden administration, and I bring this up in the conversation of Russia, because the Biden administration is trying to create a new nuclear deal with Iran. And do you know who we're using as the middleman in Vienna for our negotiations with Iran?
Oh,
no idea.
We're using Russia. Russia. The one that we're supposed to be so tough against, the one that we're supposed to be standing up to, and Joe Biden's going to stand up at that podium and say, I tell you no more with your ill-gotten gains and all that other BS he said. Specifically, you can, if you want to take a look at this name here, excuse me, Mikhail Yulianov, that's the guy that's over there. And right now, what they're saying is that we're going to pay Iran $12 billion as part of this deal. This is what the Russians are negotiating on our behalf with Iran. We are using an enemy to negotiate with our enemy. And doesn't this seem like the exact same thing when we were negotiating with China, our enemy, and trying to get them to negotiate with Russia, our enemy, not to invade Ukraine?
John,
what kind of insanity is John, this? What kind of foreign policy is this?
And let's not forget that Trump's the one that pulled us out of that whole Iran deal. It was all crap.
John, did he explain this in the State of the Union? I mean, like, I was saying...
No, I don't think. This is somewhere else, yeah.
He's not going to admit to everybody and to all the people that are watching, oh, I'm sorry. Hey, guess what, guys? We're using Russia, the people that I just said we're going to stand up against and be real tough on. We're using them to negotiate with Iran.
Well, you know, I was just saying.
I mean, he says stupid stuff, but that's a bit far for him.
I was just saying that possibly, like, the mandates and, like, to move into renewable energy would maybe explain the thing that you were saying was going from a net importer to a net, or a net exporter to a net importer. And it's like, well, if you are curtailing your fossil fuel use and trying to promote renewable energy use, you will see that in the numbers, like that will, right? And it doesn't really have as much to do with Russian fuel from that standpoint, just from numbers wise.
No, take just just do this. Just go research the number of gallons. I think that Renee had brought this up earlier. Look at, sorry, not gallons, I'm sorry. But, look at the number of barrels of oil that we were producing 1 year ago, 2 years ago versus now.
John, some
and
of
then look at the amount of,
COVID pandemic.
Yeah, come on, that's some of it, John. Come on, I'm sorry. Pardon me for interrupting you. Some of that's got to be.
Oil was considered an essential business.
Okay,
I know, but people quit driving.
Guys, real quick.
So then, why didn't we have a surplus?
Hold on, guys.
We did have a surplus.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Slow down. Renee, I want to give you the final word on this, and then I'm going to say the final piece, and then we're going to move on to the next thing. Renee, go for it.
Real quick, first of all, my mistake, not gallons, barrels.
In
2018 or 19, the U.S. was pumping 19 million barrels of oil every day.
Yes.
That's what it was. Okay. Another thing, too, is everything that John said, I agree with completely. I mean, it's ridiculous how we're, Trump took us out of that Iran deal. And now Biden, just like he did with everything Trump did that was good, is putting us back into it. So that's just one thing that I want to bring up.
Okay.
Okay, so, fact check real quick. 11,000 jobs lost, John, not 100,000 jobs. I think you just got your number off a little bit there.
No, I don't think so. Because direct to the Keystone Construction. 11,000,
yes. But this is a great
all the tertiary things like the supplies,
into
the people, even just food, people, everything that goes along there.
Thank you, John.
Restaurants, hotels, homes, everything that went on to the people that were there.
Thank you, John.
And they all quit. All of that stopped when the pipeline went down. All the hotels, the restaurants, the food, that all stopped.
Everybody who is servicing the Keystone Pipeline. Yes, of course they stopped servicing the Keystone Pipeline because those people got fired.
Thank you, John. Okay, thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. That's a great segue for Just the Facts, our brand new show that talks about fact-checking of this show, hosted by Sean Frost. Just the Facts. That comes on every Monday night. So the final word on this. Now, again, I try to do my best to be as neutral as possible. I, too, saw the State of the Union. For me, I believed that he would talk about oil prices. He would talk about the attack on Ukraine from the aggressor, Russia. These were my predictions, he would say. I felt that I gave 5 points. I thought I got 3.8 out of the all five. There were some things I was off. For me, when I watched the speech, I was thrilled. I was excited. It was one of the best State of Unions for me because I felt we've had so many harsh ones through both Trump and Obama that for me, it was great. Sorry, I'll be distracted. I thought it was really great because I felt I saw a president really trying to reach across the aisle. And it was something that I hadn't felt. It was my interpretation of it. As for a year-end review, I think a C would be very generous. I think prior to the speech I heard on the State of the Union, I was giving him a D. And, you know, that's not passing. A C is not good, guys. But that was my feeling. I really do believe that this president's trying. And I really want to state just something a little of the obvious. If President Biden had allowed the Keystone to be completed, it would have made no difference regarding the current situation. It wouldn't be helping to keep oil prices in check because it wouldn't have been completed yet. Although it could have been if not for the delays. I mean, this thing's been something since when? 2013? John, do you recall when it was still being debated? 2013, 2015, right? So if that pipeline in future situations like today had been completed, we would still see the same consequences. So that's all I want to say about the pipeline because I did look into it myself. Yes, Renee, What would you like to say?
No one gave the vice president a score.
Oh,
overall, dude, come on.
Let me tell you what my score of her. Even though you were saying I was kissing ass to the Democrats, let me tell you what my score of Kamala Harris is. I don't know where she's at. I don't know what she's doing. I don't know if that's fair to give her that responsibility, because there were times where Vice President Pence was just backing up President Trump.
Has anybody heard any of the interviews when they're asking her serious questions? Has anybody heard her responses and how ridiculous they are?
Would Renee, anyone like to answer that? Pence? What grade did you give Pence?
A C. But I give Kamala Harris an F.
Yeah, I would give her F too.
They're asking her questions. I mean, serious questions, right? Like they ask her what her I know one of them that I heard was, what do you think about the situation in Ukraine? Well, Ukraine is a small country next to a big country, Russia.
Oh, I know where you got this from. I saw this.
There's like two or three interviews like that. Okay, she just says the dumbest thing.
Okay, now.
Wasn't those facts? Those were facts, Renee.
So here's the thing. I personally gave her an F. What's your grade for vice president? Again, I think I'm being unreasonable to her. What's your grade, Anderson? Let's just go around the room. What's your grade, Anderson? Oh,
I give her an F because I don't know where the hell she's at.
Mike, what's your grade?
No grade. She's his vice president. No grades necessary.
So you're being fair.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So, I mean, she is a woman that has presidential aspirations, correct?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
I'm not asking you if you think it's going to happen. I'm asking you, do you think she has aspirations to be president?
I want to be a supermodel. It's never going to happen.
Renee, you're cute. You're hot. You can do it.
Yeah. Karen, what's your feeling on it?
I agree with you. I haven't heard much about her. I don't know what she's doing. I don't think it's fair for me to grade her.
Yeah.
I had a lot of hope for her.
I was
rooting for her.
Yeah.
I was proud of her. But I can't really judge somebody's job well done or not doing a good job if I don't even know really where she's at. Like, she's.
I would like to answer that for you, Karen.
What she hasn't done?
Listen. If I believe she has presidential aspirations, and the thing is, the one thing I can say about the Santos from Florida, John, how you pronounce the governor's
DeSantis.
Name? DeSantis. That dude, like, we don't really know much of what governors do, really, but that dude has made himself a forefront, put himself in conversations, he has moved himself in places to become somebody. Now, he's a governor. She's the vice president. I would have put myself in situations to people to be like, holy crap, even if I'm really not doing something, I'm doing something. She's done the polar opposite. Now, I would...
So why DeSantis is doing so good? Because he's doing work for the people.
It doesn't matter anyway, because it's not going to matter, Renee. You know why? Because Trump is going to shit on him. Trump is going to shit on him anyway, and he's not going to win. And Trump is going to run for the Republican office.
Nah.
DeSantis
will win.
What, Kevin? Yeah, absolutely.
Governors head the executive branch in each state, just so you know.
Kevin, that was really rhetorical, but thank you so much. What I was saying, the point was that he was making himself a presence. I would ask John what he thought about Kamala Harris, but I think he
said already.
He gave Biden an F. Who do you think is looking at Kamala Harris?
A withdraw? She withdraw from the class.
Didn't he say I give them both FF right off the bat?
Yeah, he did. He absolutely did.
Okay. But just one other thing, John, that the deal you're talking about is with Iran. It's been a China, Russia, and the United States have been involved in negotiations with this. And even though, obviously, because of Ukraine, they decided to go ahead and continue the negotiations. And it's the guy from Russia, Mikhail Ulyanov, a Russian ambassador who spearheaded the Iranian nuclear talks, said on February 3rd that Russia would announce the details of the deal on Friday or Saturday. That was reported in the Washington Post, I believe. So that's the name of that guy. Oh, he's not.
So we're negotiating with all three of our major enemies. Great foreign policy there, bud. Hey,
guys,
good job, guys.
Chris, please.
Yeah, what? What's going on?
No.
Why is you know, it's funny how no one really knows why, the real reason why Ukraine was attacked by Russia. Everybody thinks Russia is this big old bully.
You know what? We're actually going to get into that.
Ukraine for no reason.
Can you give that bit about what's going on with Russia and Ukraine? just give the bit.
All right.
Here's the bit.
All right, I'll try. See if I remember.
Come on. This is a great bit. All
right, so...
The best thing.
Russia's a scorned lover.
The line I heard was, and daddy wasn't having it. And that came to what Kevin had been saying in our group chats and what Renee had been saying outside is that there was that agreement. But the way things are going now, guys, and this is something that me and Mike almost got into a debate about yesterday that I wanted to have on the show. I'm starting to feel that the U.S. should do more to help Ukraine. Yes, Renee, I feel Ukraine is being victimized here. Like, who believes Ukraine is not being victimized here?
Well, I think that it's really the West's fault for trying to get close to Ukraine, right? Because Russia for the last 15 years. I'm not pro-Russia. Don't get me wrong. But this has been a thing in the making for the last 15 years, right? The original treaty said, and it says it in the treaty, that the West, NATO being NATO, the West will not come one inch closer to Russia. Now, one inch, bring their influence one inch closer to Russia after them agreeing to let Germany into NATO. And they signed that treaty, said that the NATO would stop at Germany and would not move one inch closer. And guess what? It was, from what I understand, within the last 6-7 months in Ukraine, they voted, and the vote was 100-8 that they wanted to try to become part of NATO. And that's why Russia invaded Ukraine, because of the threat of them being part of NATO and having military bases and possibly nuclear weapons close to their border.
Wasn't this something you were saying as well, Kevin?
I was basically saying a lot of that. I mean, okay. From what I understand, Ukraine was... they agreed to give up their nuclear weapons, saying that they wouldn't need to be protected against Russia because the NATO and the European Union would protect them in some sort of way. And then once that happened, then now they're just kind of left, and they're being, it's, there's one aspect that's kind of like why Putin is advancing right now. But
from what I understand, Russia promised they would never invade Ukraine. And in 2014, they took Crimea, right? Yes. I mean, that's invading, right? They annexed a piece of Ukraine.
Yeah, they don't look at Crimea as Ukraine, I guess. Is their argument? I'm not really sure.
Well, then they also didn't look at these other two states that they came in to be peacemakers on as Ukraine either. So as long as they just say, well we don't really look at that.
You got to understand the history of that. Ukraine wasn't completely united either. There was a very big pro-Russian factor, which is those states you're talking about. Well, the states that Chris is talking about to the east.
Well, I think
what it, very pro-Russian. So they were not all on board with the Ukrainian president. They largely wanted to become part of Russia, but there was a split there. So Russia it convinced their citizens that they were going to go in there and be liberators, right? They were going to, all these people that were against Ukraine, that were in Ukraine, were going to welcome them in with open arms. Little did he know that factor was very small. The people that were that wanted to be Russian instead of Ukrainian, that were part of Ukraine. So the reason Ukraine wasn't attacked before was because they were not a threat to Russia. Now they're becoming more and more of a threat. They're kind of
But
a
they're not, though. Country. I don't think that's they fair to say.
Yes, they are if they're going to join NATO. They are.
That's okay, so Renee, Ukraine was a buffer, right? There's NATO countries all on the other side of Ukraine. So yeah. Russia takes over Ukraine. Now you have no buffer. Those countries, that pressure that you didn't want to have is now on your border. So what sense does that make? Well, yeah,
it makes no sense. But if they did it, then they become NATO, part of NATO. They're going to be on their border anyway. So he had no choice.
I think it goes back to for who's at blame, if that's where they're going, where the disagreement is over. There was duly elected, from what I understand, administration whose plan was to stay neutral, to not move towards NATO, to not move towards Russia. At least that's what they were saying publicly. I think, Chris, you were saying that there was evidence that he was corrupted and getting paid off and maybe a puppet by Russia, or at least had Russian connections, which you would assume any leader of an Eastern European country would have just from those, you know, ties from earlier on.
Understood.
But I think the argument, so it's like if this guy was, and whether he was a puppet or not, if he was duly elected and then there was a violent overthrow of this guy, so was this violent overthrow organic? Was it, and the accusation obviously is that NATO and the West funded it and made it bigger than it was going to be, maybe created agitation and gave them cover to overthrow this government who was saying that they were going to keep the peace and not move one way or the other. They were going to, you know, acknowledge the accord that was written in 1994 or whatever. So if that's the case, then you could see
Putin's
actions as retaliatory.
It's happening now. And the truth is I feel that Russia is the aggressor, and I would like to see a bigger involvement by NATO, which would entail us in a bigger involvement.
We don't want to get involved in this.
Yeah. Well, the argument is whether or not that was an organic overthrow of a duly elected government. Is that pivotal for you or not? Or do you think that
the people obviously want to be more their own sovereign country, as in Ukrainians? They've stopped doing their arts in Russian and more in their native country, in their native dialect. So
maybe at that time,
but now it's the people's movement.
That's a good answer right there. You're right, because at one point they didn't know any better, right? They thought, okay, Russia, okay, if you all you know is communism, then that's what you want to be. But if you get a taste of the West, which is democracy and freedom, which is what they got, yes, now it's different. But back then, yes, you're right, Kevin. At one point, all that was true. But now, after they've tasted democracy and freedom, they overwhelmingly want to be part of NATO in the West.
That may be the case, but I'm just saying, in 2014, there was an administration that was elected. If we agree,
but they had open elections after that, you know, that situation at that time.
And the U.S., what he said, and the U.S., you know, kind of, or you know.
I'm sure in those elections there was definitely some sort of influence or whatever. I'm just saying we would feel a certain type of way if a country facilitated a violent
Kevin,
overthrow.
Kevin, can you please put a pin on that thought real quick? Yeah. Go ahead, Karen. Sorry, Karen, please.
Hey, Kevin. Just kidding. No, I have a question for any of you on the panel that feel strongly about NATO or the U.S. taking a more active, I guess, participation or action against Russia. Like, what is the logic behind that desire for us to do more? What are you talking about when you say, I want the U.S. to do more? Because I don't feel like we should be sacrificing any more of our people, our kids, our young, because truth be told, it's going to be our young kids that are going to go get sent to fight a war that's not, I would say it's not none of our business. It's between them. It's a fight between Ukraine and Russia. I think that when they're at what he's been asking for, I think it's sufficient for whoever country wants to contribute to the Ukraine, the president of Ukraine's request for more ammunition, more of this, more that. I think that would be fine. Because I don't really want us to go into war with anybody after leaving Afghanistan the way that we left and losing so many lives in the past 20 years. I'm not ready to do that. And also because I have boys that could potentially get drafted, I am not willing to
sacrifice my kids. Okay. No draft anymore.
Okay. Okay. Well, I don't know. I've seen a lot of people talking about draft and
Well, I think I'm the only one on this panel who feels we should. I don't. I know that Anderson has a active military son, but before I answer, because I think I'm the only one who feels they should. Renee, go for it. Shoot.
First of all, I think the U.S. I think Russia is you know, it's a superpower like the U.S. And I think that we should stay out of their business because we're nobody. It would be so hypocritical for us to condemn them for what they're doing when us as U.S. does it all the time. We go into countries, invade them, and try to do regime change all the time, which is what he's trying to do. It's also hypocritical how we're feeling so sorry for these Ukrainians when the Palestinians are their lands taken away from them from Israel and all these bads are done to the Palestinians and we have no sympathy for them. We support Israel. So I think it's just hypocritical for us to even go in there and start putting our noses where it doesn't belong. Russia's a superpower. We're a superpower. They do what they do. We do what we do. We go in there. We conquer countries and we take out their regimes and we try to do regime change. Let him do what he wants to do. He wants to go into Ukraine and do a regime change, and that's his problem. That's not ours.
You know,
Renee must have found a new news source.
Or No. Renee's been saying this for a while, and the funny thing is, you know, talking to him about this is like talking to Kevin about this, because you two. Okay.
Renee, we have alliances. we're part of NATO, and we're part of a group.
Green is not.
That's why we're not sending troops. That's exactly why we're not sending troops. But right next to Ukraine are several NATO countries. And by putting troops in those countries, we're basically letting Russia know that we will defend those countries if you have any intention of going further than Ukraine. And there's a lot of people in the know, from what I'm reading, and I think we talked about this last week, John, and John feels the same way, I'm pretty sure, that the thought that Russia is going to stop there without there being solid opposition is not likely. He's going to continue to go on because he kind of wants to go back to those levels of Russia land pre-existing when Russia was a superpower. And keep in mind, Renee, we spend more in national defense in a month than Russia spends in a year. So our military is extraordinarily more powerful than their military.
No, you're correct. But just the other day I saw numbers and we're spending like almost 50% less on national defense than we were a couple years ago.
That's not accurate at all.
Mike, I agree with you. He messes with NATO, then he's got something to do. Ukraine is not NATO. Let's stay out of it.
Well, we are going to stay out of it other than offering the support and putting the world is basically saying in the 21st century, these kinds of wars are not acceptable. Okay, people die. A lot of people die. The long-lasting effects of war on a society, on young men, on their mental health, on families, on and on and on, on and on and on. Right, exactly. The world is responding.
We did those. We did. We went.
Absolutely. And we had good reasons, right? Because there were weapons of mass destruction.
They said Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons. They didn't find anything.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and that was a Republican, right?
And oh, my God. No, it couldn't have been. For what?
We wanted to
go back to gold and get rid of the dollar? So we had
couldn't
to
have been a Republican that did that, could it? In all those wars you were mentioning, they were Republicans that got us in them, right?
Okay, hold on real quick before you make this blue and red thing.
No, real quick, Chris, one more thing. All these Republican big mouths that think they're so tough that they want to go in there and calling for the assassination of Vladimir Putin and all that, those guys are idiots, first of all. Second of all, I applaud Biden. I know you guys are going to be surprised for me to say that.
So he's not going to get an F.
For staying out of it and not making things worse.
So would you give him a D then? So you're going to give him a D?
On that, I'd give him a B, yes.
A B? That's great. But that B is going to turn that F into a D, right?
You're not listening to all these mongers that want to take us into a nuclear
war. You're not listening. You're not listening on the specific.
Yeah, okay, dude. Remember in school, if you got one good grade and you had an F, it bumped you out of the F? So we're bumping them out of the F. That's a win. That's a win.
You know what? Hey, you know who's ramming our head against the wall is Sun Tzu right now, hearing that from Renee.
John mentioned, go back to your question, Chris. John mentioned last week about the taking control of the airspace over Ukraine. And I think NATO has been resistant to do that because they're afraid that by doing that, it will more actively or it will most likely create a more active confrontation that could potentially draw us into a war.
So we have
Where's John on all that? Let John talk on some of that.
How do you take control of the airspace? By shooting at anybody that invades it. That means we're going to have to shoot at Russian planes.
Right. Right,
yeah,
right.
So
that's going to take us into a war.
Exactly, right. And President Putin made it very clear that that is a declaration of war. He's also saying that these sanctions are pretty much declarations of war too, he's pushing more of the nuclear, having his nuclear readiness. I know Mike wants to hear from John. John, the floor is yours.
I just can't wait till the UFOs come out and kill the nuclear weapons. Our UFOs that we have.
The floor is yours.
So as far as getting into or why we're over there, just like Mike said, everything that Putin has said has been geared towards not just Ukraine, but geared towards either trying to get the old Soviet Union back together, which this year, right now, 2022, is the 100th anniversary of the formation of the Soviet Union. Putin has, in many instances, said that the greatest tragedy that Russia ever had was the dissolvement of the Soviet Union. He has released speeches, he has released documents where he says that he wants to return Russia to the era of the czars, like Peter and Catherine, where they had control over almost all of Europe. Not just the Eastern countries, but they had control or they had stakes in many different countries. And what we went over last week was, you know, where is our red line? Is Ukraine, if Ukraine is not our red line, if we don't do whatever it is that we choose to do to stop Ukraine, let's say Ukraine gets taken over, where's our red line? Do we send, is our red line Estonia? Is our red line Moldova? Is our red line Czechoslovakia? Is it wherever? Do we just keep letting him go so that we don't have people in harm's way until we get into World War III? If you don't stop the guy, he's going to continue on. And here's the thing. The stuff that we're doing right now is not stopping him. He's gone in there with tier three soldiers. He has tier one, tier two, and tier three. Tier one is his best. Tier three is just his throw together. if you take a look at stuff, he's throwing in their old tanks. He's throwing in their young soldiers. He's throwing in their, he's not putting his best people in there because he knows he doesn't have to. He can just roll in there and take that stuff. You know, he said he was going to annex the bus. He just took it over. No one did anything at that point. You have, and I'll tell you, somebody brought this up, but the sanctions, saying the sanctions were a declaration of war. You have Biden literally at a press conference saying the sanctions weren't expected to prevent anything. So we
not initially. Not initially.
We have. Well, that's the thing. Why didn't we do something initially? Again, we can stop this thing by taking away the money. You can take away the resources of gas and oil. And Mike, I know you're going to scream and yell and say, well, what's Europe going to do and all this other stuff? Well, you know what? Europe doesn't have to do it right away. We can start our own exporting back up again where we can send natural gas over there to help them. We can send oil over there again, but we would have to start up, quote unquote, our own spigots for our own oil production to be able to do that. And again, we're going into a situation now where we've made all this possible where a few years ago, oil was at $30 a barrel. Russia's economy, 60% oil. He didn't have the money to do it. Russian oil is traded in United States dollars. It's not traded in rubles. So if you take out the ruble and you destroy the value of the ruble, that doesn't destroy the value of his oil because his oil is traded in U.S. dollars. So there's a lot of stuff there. And we went over last week a lot of different stuff that we could do without sending a single soldier over there. But we're not doing it. Our administration is not going to do it. They're not going to be a leader on this thing because we are relying on them for other things. We're buying oil from them. Biden's afraid of inflation going back up, which oil is not the cause of inflation. More dollars chasing less products is the cause of inflation. And we're using them to negotiate with our enemies. We're using them to do all these other things. We are relying on Russia on the back end while we're talking tough on the front end.
Chris, can I say something real quick?
You go for it.
All right. The girl who answers all these questions for Biden, what's her name?
Yeah, it's Psaki.
Jen Psaki. Psaki, I saw a press conference with her where they said, why don't we just ramp up oil and open up the pipeline again, do all this stuff, right? And she says, that won't bring us back to numbers that would pull us out of this until it would take 6 years to completely pull us out of this. The first thing I thought in my head was, then shouldn't we start like now?
Yes.
Now, right? We should start like today. If it's going to take 6 years, let's start today. The whole thing about being independent from oil is also going to take years, many, many years. Why is it that they can stop oil to in pursuit of natural energy, but they won't pump up oil again to get us into what we're in, right? So why not taper down on oil, not just completely cut us and make us completely dependent on oil? That's if you want to become independent for energy. Let's build those products. Let's build that natural energy up or whatever. Slowly, instead of trying to go cold turkey and cutting us from oil, because then we get into these situations.
The situation we have is not because of that, Renee. The oil.
Sure it is.
If we're cutting cold turkey off oil, we need millions of barrels of oil every day.
Yeah. Billions of something like something, billions of barrels of oil a day. We're pumping that out of the ground. We slowed the production of oil production during COVID. We didn't slow it because of Biden.
I want to get back to Karen's or original question. If anyone is for putting American troops out there or doing more to help Ukraine.
No,
I know. Well, everyone said
I would,
no.
Except, I would want to suggest one thing. Other than what we talked about so far.
Go for it.
The $85 billion worth of arms that we gave the Taliban sure would be useful in Ukraine right now.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. Okay.
John, you get an A today for me.
We'll just buy some more, you know?
And we'll not forget that Trump negotiated directly with the Taliban to get us out of Afghanistan. Did you go back and look that up, John? Because I told you that the promise was they had to release a bunch of prisoners.
Yeah, John.
Afghanistan
said they weren't going to do that. And then the United States forced them to do that. So Trump made that particular deal that gave them all those weapons. So just so you know.
Okay. John, you ain't going to be able to play.
I disagree with that completely.
Okay, so maybe you guys are trying to save me from not saying what I want to say. And putting troops out there in Ukraine. Karen, you have young men, young sons, that if World War III did happen, even though there is no draft, I'm pretty sure the draft would happen again if World War III was to happen. So the reason why I feel is because, you know, America has allegedly been accused of doing overthrows of other allegedly. Kevin, I see your face. It's allegedly. You can't prove we did anything. Overthrow other civilizations. I'm just saying that this is the one time where we really talk about how awesome democracy is. And the Ukraine has been begging to be a part of NATO. And the thing is, we really do want other countries to have our kind of democracy, our type of freedom. And I believe the Ukraine is their own sovereign country that should make their own decisions. And they've been influenced by the West, not just America, but by Germany, by England, by France. And we talk so much shit of how great we are and how everyone should do this. And we want to be so much of the, you know, world superstar that we got to put our money and our people where our mouth is. You know, we go and we interfere and bullshit, dumb things that this is the one time where this country is really asking Europe and President Zelensky, I believe is the name of the Ukrainian president, did a video conference to Congress and said, please, you know, if you can't do a no-fly zone, send us jets. And I just read today that we did a three-way deal to send jets to them. This is what we've always talked about. You know, I am not your crazy America and all wild, but at this time I am. I do believe that people deserve liberty and freedom. And I think President Putin is a dictator, a tyrant, a real one, not a baby one. And I think if we don't do something, then we need to just shut up and believe in being just isolated in our own little island.
Is that a teardrop coming from your eye?
America. Thank you.
Wait, Chris, can I say something?
Yeah, go for it.
I just wanted to say that because Renee always does that.
That's an awesome.
Thank you very much for watching.
There's an Oscar right there.
We could be wrong.
Hey, you used your arts education to do that one.
So even though people are trying to throw stones at me because I actually care about freedom, it's okay. You know, Jesus says to turn the other cheek. I thank you for our three viewers that kept streaming us and watching us. People, tell your friends about us. We'll be on every week. We are no longer suspended. Please email us at mysakeproductions@gmail.com.
Chris. You could have said 3,000 people, dude. Come on, try to hype up the show a little bit.
Well, that's up to – I mean, they're not blind, dude. They're going to see viewers if they're streaming it. You know? You know? So,
thank you for
please.
That one person who watched this.
Thanks, Mom. Come back next week for We Could Be Wrong, But Who Cares? And have a great night.